Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, we welcome Brian and Carrie of Brian and Carrie Live. And these are two individuals that I really have been looking forward to interviewing and having on the show, and they did not disappoint. This is a power-packed interview, and you're going to really, I know you're going to pick up very quickly once you hear them speak, how both down-to-earth they are, but also how incredibly insightful and intelligent they are. They are mindset coaches who have worked with just hundreds, probably thousands of individuals and changed their lives for the better. Now, as somebody who I often share my own personal experience, both in my fitness journey, in my health journey, with my health challenges, in my business journey, I tell it like it is. And what I can share with all of you is if you're listening and you've never thought about a business coach or a mindset coach or even investing in a personal trainer or a coach for your fitness goals, I can tell you that my entire life has changed so dramatically for the better when I really began to invest in this for myself in every area. And frankly, you'll see I got to the end of the show and I told them, and it's just the truth. I'm like, I think I need you guys as my coaches as well. You can never have enough. I will tell you this, once you dive into really taking your whole life seriously and wanting to make it better, wanting to live your life the way that you design it instead of just getting through it, staying in this job that you've always been in, thinking that you're stuck in this body and that you can't change it, thinking that you're going to make the kind of money that you're making now and that's going to change, you're going to be in the same house, in the same city, doing the same thing, taking the same one vacation a year. It doesn't have to be that way. But I will say for certain, again, for those of you listening, if you've never thought about having a coach and this whole concept seems weird to you, trust me when I say it will transform your life forever. But if this is your first exposure to it, listen to the interview. You're going to learn quite a lot. What we talk about and what Brian and Carrie are very good at is helping people see how they have become, I don't want to say they've become, how they have been their biggest limitation in life and how recognizing that and addressing that can change everything. So tune in. I know you're going to love the show. If you have any questions, we'll definitely have Brian and Carrie back on the show. Let us know at fitfluentialradio.com. And in the meantime, sit back, relax, and enjoy this interview with Brian and Carrie. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. I have Brian and Carrie with me, and I'm so excited. I was completely name-dropping you on Instagram earlier. Welcome to the show. Are you ready to go?
Absolutely.
Oh, we are so more than ready to go.
I honestly think I feel like my cool factor just went up about 200,000 degrees just by the fact that I can name-drop you and say that I know you. And I'll be honest, I've told people that we're besties, so I hope that's okay.
It's all good.
You two, in all seriousness, are, first of all, you're the most ridiculously amazing looking couple ever. I love your style and your vibe. And anybody that looks you up, they're going to say the same thing. Here's what I want everybody to know. And this show is so timely. I told Brian and Carrie before we started recording, we're going to talk a lot about being your own limits in life. And for those of you that have been following me, particularly this year, 2017, you've heard me talk a lot about coming through the worst year of my life and the transformation that I've been going through in virtually every area of my life. And This, I will say, and I'm going to say it again, and I'm so excited to hear from Brian and Carrie on how they got started down this road, making such an impact on the lives of the people they coach. But let me tell you, and I'm going to say this a billion times in the show, there is nothing more transformative than, number one, understanding your limits and getting past them. But number two, I cannot recommend strongly enough investing in yourself in whatever area you start with, but really in all areas of your life, in a coach. And if you're one of those people like I was 5 or 6 years ago that was like, a life coach, a mindset coach, a business coach, what's that? Whatever. I know what I'm doing. Trust me, you don't know what you're doing, and you can become so much better and your life can transform. So I'm just putting that out there at the front of this, because I'm living proof that everything in your life can change forever. And Brian and Carrie, I know that you are mindset coaches for folks really all over the country, probably all over the world. And you have really a remarkable story. I have a lot of quotes I'm going to bring up from your website, and we're going to piggyback and start those discussions. But I've told people in the intro, your mindset coaches, what your background is, and how many lives you're influencing on your show every week. You just have this amazing sense of energy and charisma, and you have changed lives. But I'm curious for you, before we start getting into limitations that we put on ourselves and the importance of coaching and self-improvement, when was it for the two of you that you started to realize you were limiting yourself? And when did you start making changes in your life? Was it younger? Was it when you were younger? Was it when you were older? When did that happen, and why?
I mean, that's a great opening question. Do you mind if I kind of kick off?
You may
well,
go
thank
first.
You. No, I mean, for me, I think it's actually rather accumulative. And I like this question a great deal, because I think people are going to recognize that Carrie and I have arrived at the same place, but we started from two different locations, essentially. I think, you know, Kelly, for me, I was diagnosed with clinical depression at a reasonably young age. I was about 17 or 18. I never took medication, even though it was prescribed. I never did any therapy, even though it was advised. And believe it or not, I found my way out of the depressive cycle all by myself. It took some time, but that was the start of it all for me. When I say that was the start of it, this is what I'm referring to. I think that everybody listening right now, we all know the fortune cookie, we all know the quotes, we all know the quotables. So, you know, we have that, you know, you are your only limit, and you are born of stardust, and that all the potential of the universe is the potential in you. I think we all know that. We get very excited by it. But what we don't recognize, what we don't realize, what we've never been taught is how to access all of that. You're absolutely right. Every individual listening right now, the only real limit in their lives is themselves. They may not really understand that right now. In some cases, they may not believe me. But when I was clinically depressed, one of the things that I started doing was learning about quantum physics and learning about spirituality. And when I mean spirituality, I don't necessarily mean religion. I mean the process of understanding myself. And those two topic areas led me to realize something which is actually profoundly simple, but it has an amazing impact. Reality doesn't exist. Our perception of reality exists. So it's not so much that the life I was living when I was depressed was life at large. It was the current perception I held of my life. It was the current perception I held of myself. And when you accept that, when you come to realize that a camera on a tripod that is fixed and stationary is showing you a very, very one-dimensional look at an entire room. But if you just move that tripod 3 inches and rotate it, all of a sudden the camera shows you a completely different view. That's akin to perception. That if we really, really want to let it go and understand that our lives are not what we see or what we believe them to be, they're simply reflections of our current perceptions, we recognize the power to change perceptions, and in doing so, eliminate the limits that we currently believe are holding us back?
I literally am over here. Like, I had to hold myself back from interrupting you. It's one of my main issues in life, interrupting, because I just get so excited. I'm like, amen, amen, brother, bring it down. That was awesome. You know what one of my favorite quotes is? And seriously, this was such a breakthrough for me in probably the past 2 weeks. I've become a little obsessed with books by Grant Cardone on sales technique. And I really am working on that for myself. And one of the things I read in one of his books reminded me of that quote: we don't see things as they are, we see things as we are.
Correct.
And to me, everything you just said, for those of you listening, this couldn't be a better way to start off the show and this interview, because it really is true. When you are able to humble yourself, whether it's in your fitness journey, in your spiritual journey, in becoming more self-aware, in your work environment, we always see things a certain way. And we can, you know, I remember the last job I worked before I founded Fitfluential, I bitched and moaned about my boss all the time. And I can joke about this now because he and I are friends. And I've humbled myself and I've said, I was wrong, Jack, and I'm sorry. You were mostly right at least 5% of the time. You know, 95% of the time I was right. But in all seriousness, when you look at yourself, you see things differently, and you can then have those aha moments where you're like, wait a minute, I had no idea. And then you'll start to look at your problems differently. You'll start to look at everything differently. And that's what a key... I mean, that's like a key point that we could probably have a whole show around this, but changing your perception is awesome. And Carrie, I'm so sorry, because I probably should have I want to let you piggyback, because Brian started, but when was it for you as well, when you started to, you know, experience that change in your life, or those aha moments?
Yeah, absolutely. Great. I mean, you know, I like Brian, I just want to echo what Brian said, because I love when people start interviews this way, kind of painting the picture of where we came from. And they're very different backgrounds, to be honest with you, in terms of how we both came into eliminating our own limits. For me, I guess like the best way to start this is my very classic mindset profile is that of a people pleaser and a suppressor historically in the past. And so my first moment of recognizing that, you know, I was, you know, stuck and holding myself back slapped me right square in the face when I was like 28 years old. I had one of those lives that was like, essentially, you know, you expect yourselves, you know, from society standards to, you know, grow up, get married, have the house, have the kids, have the job, et cetera, et cetera. So from an ostensible look at my life, I had all of the things that one would expect to have and be happy. And there was a lot of issues within my relationship. It was, you know, it was in an abusive relationship. And I choose that language very carefully, because it wasn't my ex-husband who was abusive. It was just an unhealthy relationship. I've taken accountability for that part. But I literally woke up one day and recognized that, like, I was not living, I was surviving. And that for me was a really hard pill to swallow at that moment, because I am such a, I tend to be one of those positive Patty type people in the past, who I could flip any negative situation into a positive one. But and this is something we always caution people against, is when you're just flipping negative to positive, the problem is more often than not, what we're actually doing is suppressing. We're not actually dealing with any of the issue of the reason, you know, we're flipping it to the positive. So I woke up at, like, you know, one morning when I was 28 years old and was like, what the fuck? Like, how did I end up here? And what do I need to do to start getting out of this situation? And so from that moment forward, I just started, you know, making adaptations, taking accountability, driving awareness, the whole nine yards. And, you know, for us, you know, for Brian and myself, you know, and I think that this is a really valuable lesson for everybody to learn. You're always going to have limits. Your limits change, right? At the beginning, maybe they're these monstrosity, you know, of elephants in the room that are wreaking havoc on your life. But as you progress forward, I'm a firm believer that we always have small nuances that we can tweak and refine and eliminate new limits that we didn't even know were there. So it's a whole process of peeling back the layers of an onion. And we've just been at it, you know, individually and collectively since, you know, those starting times.
Brian, like, I fell in love with your answer, and now Carrie, like everything you said, I want to hug you from way across because I am a recovering people pleaser as well. And I think so, I think it's definitely a tendency a lot of women have for sure, is to be that people pleaser. It has been an incredible eye-opening experience for me to realize how much my people pleaser nature has limited me. I mean, in virtually every area of my life. I was just having a lesson that I realized this week where I'm like, I've spent all of my time trying to run around and make people happy with my decisions. That's not my job. My job is not to make everybody approve of me, approve of my company, approve of my decisions. That's the people pleaser. And you know what? When you spend your time feeding that people pleaser side of yourself, it goes nowhere. It's a road to nowhere. And the other thing that you mentioned that I think is key, you mentioned you were not living, you were surviving. And I feel like one of the big things I observed or that came to light when I moved to Austin unexpectedly, from Chicago last year, I had a lot of folks on social media applauding me and pinging me on Instagram or Facebook going, oh my God, I love that you're just selling most of your stuff and chasing your dreams and going to Austin. I wish I could do that. And I know both of you are going to have something to say about this because you probably have a lot of clients that when they started becoming coached by you, they said similar things. So many people wrote me and said, I wish I could. I've always wanted to move somewhere else. I wish I could move. I wish I could start my own business. I wish I could do this. You're so lucky. And I would always write back to these people and go, why do you think that you can't? Do you also, because my observation about people like that is they think that they're stuck. They think they're stuck where they're living. They think they're stuck in their job. They think they're stuck in their marriage. They think they're stuck at 50 pounds overweight because, air quotes, I've tried every diet out there. Is this something you hear a lot? And what do you say to folks that say, oh, I wish I could do that, but I can't?
I mean, we hear it daily. And so certainly it's part of the pedigree of what we do when working with people is we start by, you know, Carrie always has an amazing nuance of explaining this. The whole process that we start with is what Carrie calls gathering. What gathering is for us is that we essentially allow people space and time to talk. We want to listen. We want to open up to them and allow them to, you know, just talk to us about life and different aspects of their lives. Now, the reason that's an important first step is our system is actually incredibly simple, and it applies across the board. If we're talking about better relationships or better fitness or the body of your dreams or more money or moving across country or starting an entrepreneurial career successfully, it's all about eliminating the limits that are holding you back from those things. The reason we start with gathering speaks to the simplicity of our system. We have four exercises, and we call them the four pillars. And one of the most important ones of those four is something we call learn your language. So when we're talking with someone, perhaps a new client or new prospect, what we want to do is entertain a conversation where gathering ensues. We can listen, essentially. Our job then is to hold up a mirror. And that speaks to the point that Carrie made earlier, that very often, and we do such, by the way, Carrie was the first person to swear on this call. I just want to make that clear. I haven't been sworn yet. I'm getting there, though.
High five on that one.
Yeah, because I'm usually the curse guy.
I just threw it in. You know, I just went with it.
It was well done. But well, no, there you go. We have disabled society in so many ways, and I don't speak badly of anybody, but as an industry, so much of the motivational industry has hurt people in many ways more than it's helped because we have been taught and conditioned to flip negative to a positive, to only think about happy thoughts. And if we feel negative or bad things, we're supposed to push them away. But the problem is our very language is the limit that is holding us back. So the reason we gather and the reason we hold up the mirror and the reason one of our most important four exercises is called learn your language is we want to show people how they're talking to themselves. Mm-hmm. Internal dialogue is the primary limit. And the truth is, whether you're looking to lose weight or make more money or have a better relationship or be happier with who you are, whatever it might be, you treat yourself like an asshole. Every single one of us, the human brain is conditioned evolutionarily speaking, it's conditioned to be negative. And it's been worse over the last 30 years because the motivational industry has taught us to avoid negativity. But one of the most important things we have to do to start is understand where our language is holding us back. So when someone says to us, well, I wish I could start a business, you're lucky, we call bullshit on it immediately by showing them, well, look it. That's your current perception. If that doesn't shift, nothing ever will.
Yeah. You know, and can I just, I'm just going to add to that because, you know, one of the things that we pride ourselves on is that, you know, in the work that we do with people, we just don't tell people what to do, but we actually educate them as to the reasons why they're doing it and what the purpose it serves. So like if we take, I think there's value in people understanding that, like, you know, somebody could say, you know, I can't possibly move to Texas, right? But they don't, people don't know what they don't know, right? So when somebody says, I can't something, what's really going on is the language that you're hearing is their unconscious mind, because that's all processing as I can't statements without them even being aware of that. So the work that we do is all about bringing the unconscious to the conscious level, right? And what we have to understand about the unconscious mind is that it is all built off of our conditioning and our experiences and our influences over a lifetime. So, you know, I grew up in North America, which meant for me, my influence was to grow up, get married, you know, get a job, have two kids, right? And that's what I did, only to find out at the age of 28, I was like, whoa, what just happened, right? Like, we don't recognize that and we're not aware of that until we go through the process of making it conscious through learning your language, like Brian was talking about.
And I'm so going to interject because Carrie often incites me in the best way possible. I just got excited. This is a really important point for everyone listening right now. It's one of the reasons that, again, we have no disagreement with anybody, but for all of the listeners out there, if you fit into this category, okay, this is for you. And what's the category? You have read every self-help book on the planet and nothing's worked, okay? Now, it's not because a self-help book was bad or because the author didn't know what they were talking about. That's not the case. But here's the limiting factor that the motivational industry often doesn't get to. Science has shown us that there are four stages of learning that every human being on the planet goes through. It starts with what we call unconsciously incompetent. And Carrie just said it. We don't always know what we don't know. Somebody who says, well, Kelly, you're very, very lucky. I wish I could do that. The reality is you and I know that they could do that, but they don't know that. They're unconsciously incompetent. So when we learn our language, we start to bring the unconscious into the consciousness, and that moves us up to the second phase of learning, which is conscious incompetence. Now we recognize that our perception is kind of crappy, but we don't know how to change it. So we still have the belief system that Kelly's lucky, and we wish we could be more like her. But with further exercise and further dialogue and further self-awareness, we move to the third stage, which is consciously competent. And that's an important stage because anyone who's ever tried to lose weight sustainably knows this story. You know that an apple is a better choice than Doritos, but far too many times you self-sabotage yourself and you end up choosing the Doritos. You don't know why you're doing it, and it pisses you off and you get very frustrated. But with the more self-awareness into the equation, you start to actively stop yourself from choosing the Doritos and instead making the conscious choice for the apple. If you continue down that path, you move in the fourth and final stage of learning, which is unconsciously competent. And that simply means you've changed your perception. Now you're very well aware of the fact that Kelly's not lucky, and that she's not done anything that you couldn't do yourself. You've moved into the fact that having an apple after your workout is just what you do. You don't even think about the Doritos anymore. When you've matured through those four stages, you have effectively changed your perception forever. Part of the problem with self-help is that it's all about the quote and the motivation and the hype, but there's not a system that helps guide people through those four very natural realities of learning.
I've actually heard, and probably from you guys, I've heard the unconsciously incompetent, consciously incompetent. I as you were starting to go through that, I'm like, okay, the last phase would be consciously competent. And the way that you explained it, to, that the last phase is unconsciously competent totally makes sense, because it does. It becomes second nature.
Yes.
And I have to say that when you spoke to, have you read every self-help book out there and it hasn't made a difference? This is where, again, I'm absolutely fine on this show using myself as an example for anybody to say, look at my life, and you can, I mean, you can go back years and see the fitness journey I've been on, the business journey, et cetera. And I keep it about as transparent and probably TMI as possible, where everyone's like, okay, Kelly, we've heard about those issues. But I really was, for everyone listening, I just want to interject strongly here. You know, if you asked me 6 or 7 years ago, frankly, if I would have heard about Brian and Carrie, I would have been like, wow, they're so cool. And I would have seen if they had a fitness ebook that I could buy, because I was strictly about fitness. I didn't understand the concept of a coach. I didn't understand, you know, I certainly had heard about therapists and coaching, but I was like so skeptical. I thought, I'm a good salesperson. I know what I'm doing, yada, yada. Then there came that phase where I did start reading more business books. But I read the business books. I certainly became exposed after I went to a Tony Robbins seminar of business coaching, investing in yourself. And I started to see, okay, the best people out there are, like, if you look at Tony Robbins will say that he is taught by other people. If you look at an athlete doesn't just become, and I don't watch a lot of sports, so bear with me. You don't just become LeBron James and then you never practice. He has as a coach, he works with somebody in that area to become the best at what he does. He doesn't just say, well, I've become this outstanding basketball player, and he never has to work at it. Everyone who is amazing at what they do has a guide for their food, for their business, for their finances. I used to be that idiot that thought that's for everybody else. Or I bet you guys hear this a lot as well, and this might be a good point to address. I thought, well, that's great. I'd love a coach. I'd love a therapist. I'd love a trainer. I'd love this. I don't have the money for it. Mm-hmm. And that is, to me, one of the biggest leaps I made, because when I did invest in myself, I have learned so much about all the time I've wasted thinking I was saving money. Because when you invest in yourself for a trainer, for a coach, for a therapist, whatever it is, you will transform your whole life, and you will look back and go, I really wish I did it earlier. Because I can tell you, just the way both of you are talking, you have that ability to pick up on what people are bullshitting themselves about. You can hear it just in their everyday language. So one of my questions to you then is this: you help people in all areas of their lives. You know, you talk about on your, I'm looking at your site right now, it says, it amazes us how many people still think they need a better diet, a better training program, a better marketing strategy, a better business tactic, or a self-help book to have the success they want. Is summer all of that stuff important? Most of the time, yes. But the biggest limitation to your success is and forever will be you. My question to both of you is, and either one of you or both of you can answer this, I bet you have a lot of people that come to you and they'll express interest in, okay, I know I need help, but do you find that a lot of them let the money stop them investing in themselves? That can also be their own limitations, and they don't understand that laying that money down is the key. Because if somebody gave you free training or free person, you wouldn't give it the same respect as if you paid for it yourself. That's my opinion. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the greatest stories that people hold for themselves, is that they can't afford things. You know, and I think that, like, so this is the part that I love about what we do, because, you know, there are so many marketers out there and salespeople out there who do the, like, you can't afford it, so I'm going to shame you kind of dance. And I can't stand that. I don't like it when people do the, like, you know, if you really wanted this for yourself, you would put the money down, you would figure it out. And then the person ends up walking away feeling worse and feeling more like in the hole than they did before they even started the call. And I think that, to be honest with you, I mean, there's multiple reasons why people have stories surrounding money and, you know, why they can't afford things. But I think that the way that we've crafted that as a marketing culture is part of it, right? So, you know, for me, whenever, I mean, there's no question about it. we have a mix of everything. We have people who are ready, who have no money and will spend tens of thousands of dollars on us because they'll make it work. And then we'll have people who do have money, basically say they're not able to afford it. And for me, it always comes down to doing our jobs as a coach, right? We're mindset coaches. So as opposed to trying to shame somebody into something or convince them, for me, what I always want, you know, my potential clients to be able to do is to see where the limitation is existing and then work through that. And sometimes that means starting small. Sometimes that means working through a little bit of their language first, but you know, it's definitely a recurring, theme, I think.
I think it's a recurring theme for every entrepreneur in one way or another, but I think Carrie's answer is exactly right. We, we're honest, we're real with people. We don't shame, we don't condone that kind of behavior whatsoever by entrepreneurs. But I do think that, it's funny, as a mindset specialist who tracks back how our mindsets got to where we are, it's a very interesting thing. You know, Kelly, where we start teaching people about mindset, because we don't just have clients. Like we run a school. So there's, we have mindset coach students who come into our certification program as well. And where we start teaching the whole concept is on influence. Why are our mindsets the way they are? And I think one thing that might be interesting for entrepreneurs to understand is that if you look at, say, North America, for example, young girls are taught, they're conditioned via society to grow up. And this is maybe a generation ago, but it certainly talks to adults in today's marketplace. Young girls are taught to grow up to be moms and maybe homemakers and essentially put themselves last at every turn. The kids come first, the dog comes second, and maybe the husband comes third, mom comes last. And young boys are taught something, similar in that the influence shows us that we need to grow up, go to school, get a good, steady job, mind our expenses, invest, so that basically we can die with no debt. Now, if that being the influence, sometimes it can be a real challenge to help people understand that putting themselves first and investing in themselves is actually something worthwhile. And so Carrie and I can understand that, but I will say this in closing on this particular topic matter, investing with your wallet has been the most liberating experience of my life. If you don't invest with your wallet, you're not really investing. And I stand by that. And it's an amazing thing because we have three commodities, money, time, and energy. And people will put out more time and more energy than they actually have in order to reserve their money, which they don't want to spend. But money is easily replaceable, whereas time and energy are not. Mm. So we are misusing our resources completely.
God, you said so many like truth bombs there. And I have a really cool like closing question for you guys that you might not be expecting. But before that, I'm going to say, let me frame for everybody listening why I think that, and Brian and Carrie, I'm totally going to stalk you to be back on the show, because one of the things that I'm launching the end of this year on Fitfluential Radio, it's like my own sub show, if you will, where I really want to interview successful entrepreneurs in the health, wellness, and really just health, wellness, and business coaching space. So you obviously would be two folks that I would want on that show. Here's why. Why does this tie back to Fitfluential, to health and wellness, to us making an impact on the health and wellness and lives of millions? That's my goal. I feel strongly, back to what you said, Carrie, early in the show, that a lot of people, probably most people in our country, United States and Canada, I think they're like comatose through life. They're plodding through, they're just getting through the day, they're at a job, they're stressed out, they have anxiety, they're overweight, they watch too much TV, they don't feel good, their marriage is dead, they have no sex life, they're not thriving. I think that was in the, they're not living, they're surviving, and they're not thriving. And what I feel is that whether you start with fitness or potentially you start, looking at your business life, if you can step outside, change your perception, and see that your life can be designed differently, you could live life the way that you want. You could be not wearing a suit every day. That is happiness. That is what is going to affect your stress level. That is going to decrease your stress when you pursue what you want. It doesn't mean it's easy. It doesn't mean, I mean, I run a startup. It's taken a lot out of me for 6 years. But I'll tell you what, right now, and because of the things I referenced at the beginning of this show, I am more damn excited about this company and what I'm going to do with my life at age 48 and 6 years into my business than I was in 2011 when I started. Mm-hmm. And what I really, the reason that I want to focus on pursuing your dreams, getting the right coaches to help you wake up out of your life coma and do what you want, what sets your soul on fire, because you decrease your stress, you improve your health. And that's better for everybody. So to me, that's the tie-in to Fitfluential. Now, here's my closing drumroll question for you guys. We hear a lot. This is one of my pet peeves. You always see on Inc. magazine, Entrepreneur magazine, this magazine, that, or you'll see it online, TechCrunch, whatever. You know, 40 business people under 40, or 20 millionaires under 30. You know, the top whatever, and it's always about age. And people doing amazing things that haven't even graduated college or whatever. And I suggest that, how about all these people that have, before they were even exposed, because I think our generation, we were never exposed to this kind of stuff. We were told just what you said, Brian. We were told to go to college, get a job, stay in a conservative job, stay in that comfort zone, stay in the realm of predictability, never do anything crazy, always be wearing a suit. That's what we were taught to do. And this younger crowd has been exposed to a more entrepreneurial message, so it's more comfortable. I'm going to ask both of you, do you think, how much more challenging is it for folks that have been exposed to, again, that conservative way of living, to start when you're in your 30s, to shake things up and start a completely different direction in life? And I also think it could be more rewarding because you're leaving that, you know, that old corporate world behind and pursuing what you really want. What about the people that start midlife or 40s or 50s and 60s? Do you agree? Like, we're not talking about how amazing that is.
Right.
That was epic. I don't think either one of us could agree more. I sincerely love that. I'm going to say briefly, Karen, then I'll turn it over to you.
Yeah, sure.
By the way, Carrie's totally naked right now and trying to entice me by dancing, just so everybody knows.
That's
I am too.
We have snuggled
a couple times. So no, I think what you said is epic. It's so profound. It's so true. How much harder is it for a 30 or someone in their 40s? It's harder as far as them accepting that perception is king goes. So what do I mean by that? The best and most perfect time of life to start teaching someone about spirituality and mindset and perception are when we're kids, because myelin is still growing and we are very plastic in the nervous system, which means that as we age through our adolescence, etc., we're exposed to new things, and those things become lessons we retain for life, which is why we, Karen and myself, are so robust about teaching all of this shit to our kids. We have two kids. Now, as we age and influence hits us more and more often, it's like it's the silent killer. People do not recognize, because people are not self-aware, they do not recognize how much influence plays a role in every part of their lives. So yes, it becomes much more challenging for a 30 or 40 year old to do away with their life of the past and evolve into what they want, but simply because their unconscious is attached so strongly to the perception of what they think life is, that challenging that truth for them can be a travesty. And it can be more challenging because of that. That doesn't make it impossible. Again, it starts with acceptance. When we begin to have self-awareness, we can start peeling back the layers of influence, and that's where the gold lives. So I love your point. It can be more challenging because of myelin activity, central nervous system development, and unconscious influence, but definitely not impossible.
That's well, great. Now, you see, we both are in this, you know, area of mindset. So that was my answer, because that's exactly what I would have said, just in maybe different words. But I mean, that's a good thing that we both have the same answer. It comes down to mindset for me. I think it all, like Brian said, it comes down to perception of what you believe is true and the influences. So
absolutely.
I'm not going to add more because it would just be redundant.
That's awesome. Well, I know that I also have taken you over our time today, and I need to respect your time. So, you know, in closing, here's what I'd like to ask of you, and then I will follow up with you and stalk you repeatedly to come back on the show, because this was like so awesome, but I feel like we just touched the beginning of your awesomeness, and I know our audience is going to love this interview. So in closing, of course, we'll link all of this up on fitfluentialradio.com, but where can folks find you and start to become as obsessed with you as I am?
Yeah, the best place would be on our Facebook page. So that's facebook.com/Brian and Carrie Live. That's where we host our 5-day a week morning show, Brian and Carrie in the Morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. That's the best place to find us, stalk us, bug us, whatever you want.
Yeah, I agree. If that's too long to type out, Brian and Carrie, no, also works. But I like the Facebook page better.
And if you tune in, I mean, I think on Thursdays they have clothing optional.
That's
Thursday.
Right.
So, you know there's always that.
You never know what to expect.
You two are awesome. I will tell you this, just in closing, I feel like I'm becoming a little bit of a coach whore, because I'm already, I mean, we started talking and I'm like, I need them. I need to have you. So I'm just going to let you know that I think that we're going to have to talk, because I need your influence in my life. You guys are incredible. I'm so glad we had you on the show. So honored. For everybody listening, obviously we'll link up to everything in the show notes on Fitfluential Radio, and thank you for tuning in. We will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.